Are you ready to do his will?
Amen. Woo.
Ready or not, here he comes. Yes. Yeah, remember that game? Ready or not, here I come. That's the Lord. Ready or that's what the Lord tells us in his word in 1 Thessalonians. Ready or not, here I come. Yeah. So, praise God. Great to see everybody. And I'm excited because I believe one of the greatest miracles of all that Jesus did was change lives. You guys are miracles. Very miracle of the hand of God of coming into your life and changing, because your lives are never the same no more. Yes, we do. We are humans and we do blow it and we still deal with situations in our life, but we are not the same no more. There's some things that we fall into, and there's some things that we practice. We don't practice those things anymore, the old lifestyle. In fact, Paul said that we were once in darkness, but now we are in the light. And so we're going to have one of those miracles come up and share his testimony this morning for communion, and then we'll get it, prepare our hearts for communion, prepare the Word of God. Why don't you come on up here, Keith? Keith Mason. And I want Keith to know that when he's talking, I'm going to be talking too. You know how he does that for me? Yeah. So I just want you to know, brother, when you're up here sharing, I'm going to be saying, yes, I'm going to share. So ready or not, here he comes. Okay, right on, brother. Come on up. You got it? Okay. So let's hear what Keith, what the Lord did in Keith's life.
Everything's blurry.
Oh, okay. Well, that's okay. Your face is blurry.
Well, but I'll be able to read, so, yeah. Okay. All right. Can you guys join me in prayer for a couple of Lord, I come before you, God, and Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me and take away my nervousness and just anything that I say that's not of you, Lord, just let it soon be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, well, in Revelation 12:10, Revelation 12:10 says Satan is the accuser of the brothers and sisters. It says he goes before the throne day and night accusing us. So in the next verse, in verse 11, it says that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. So you're going to get my testimony today. So anyway, let's see. I grew up kind of with a Christian mom and an atheist dad. So we never went to church or anything. My mom's kind of was a secret Christian. She had to live with my dad. And anyway, so I never went to church. Anything except we went to church on weddings and funerals, and that was kind of it. Maybe Easter. So I joined the Air Force when I was 19, and my roommate was a Christian, and he had a tapestry of the Last Supper, and I was like, "What's that?" And he told me what it was, and we got to talking and we became friends, and he told me that I needed Jesus. So I said, all right, I sort of accepted the Lord, and I'll tell you why in a second that I say sort of, because in hindsight, I mean, I said the words, but in hindsight, I'm not sure if I really was saved or not. So a couple years later, after I got out of the service, I suffered a head injury, and it left me paralyzed on my left side. But as a result, I got 100% sold out for God, and that's really the day I think of myself as becoming Christian. So that was, praise God. You know, I've thought about it for a long time, and because Romans 8:28, you know, it tells us that all things work together for good for them that love God and are they're called according to his purpose. So how is this good, Lord? You know, so many things I just can't do. And I'm thinking of, there's so many things, am I loud enough? There's so many things that I would think that I could do more for God if without this injury, without this paralysis. And but apparently, he thought otherwise. So let's see, where am I at? So anyway, perhaps had it not have happened, I might have, maybe I wasn't really saved in the first place. I probably wasn't, because I was kind of living a non-Christian lifestyle, should I say, just dating and doing stuff, and not a good Christian lifestyle, and we'll leave it there. So I might have not been saved. I might have completely backslidden, which actually I might never have been saved. So that is what it is. After my injury, I've put a list of accomplishments that I've done. They're all post injury. I ended up getting a bachelor degree in computer science. I wrote two books on apologetics and created two different websites on the apologetics, because that's kind of my passion. Because I grew up not believing in God, and when I found out there's all this evidence, I was like, let's tell people. Thank you. Good words. You knew the words that weren't supposed to be in my mouth. Thank you. So anyway, I did that. Before COVID, I was involved in our church's witnessing ministry. Here we used to go out with Wendy and Frank and myself and Ray Cole, and we'd go out and pass out tracts and tell people about God, about Jesus. Let's see, I put together a couple of CDs and some literature for a witnessing team that went to Georgia State University, pretty much known for its secular, it's a very secular university, and so I did that, and I have a heart for missions and support them. I'm on the prayer team now and very passionate about that. And of course, well, all of that was post injury. So I think I've done some stuff for God. While I was getting ready to prepared this testimony, I was praying and asking God, what do you want me to share? And so there's one more thing that I would like to tell you that I'm going to include in my testimony from now on, should it come up again. I have a new fire in my soul for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I need to tell you why. It began, yeah. Boy, he's got us trained, doesn't he? He does. All right, so February 8th, a few students remained. They remained after the regular chapel service ended. They stayed back to pray, and it was just a handful of students at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. As they were praying, God's spirit began to fall, and soon They were joined by other students. The faculty, staff, teachers all joined in, and it grew to 100 people, and then even more. And they had to move. There's so many people, they had to move it to the auditorium. And then it grew even more from there. Thousands and thousands of people were, as God's Spirit began to fall. It was, long story short, it was 15 days of around-the-clock, 24/7 prayer, confession, weeping, scripture reading, and repenting and worship. So yeah, praise the Lord. It was on day 8. There were 20,000 people. There was a line of cars, 4.5 miles long, 4.5 miles long, waiting to get to the town, and a line of people was 1/2 mile long, waiting to get into the meetings and waiting in 35-degree weather. So, I mean, it was, God's Spirit really was falling. It ended up being 50,000 people came to the thing. And the whole, the town itself is only 6,000 people. So at day 15, they said, we have to stop this. We can't support the people anymore. We don't have the infrastructure. So they started turning people away. And so the whole time it's going on, though, it was on YouTube. The simulcast was on YouTube. So I was watching it live, and people all over the world, literally, were watching this thing. I think they said there was volunteers. Volunteers have talked to people, they says, from countries all over the world and all over the U.S., including Finland, Portugal, Canada, Philippines, California, Oregon, Florida, Hawaii, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Texas, among other states and countries. So after the whole thing ended, other revivals have broken out now at colleges throughout the country. So far, it's Lee University, Ohio Christian University, Western Kentucky University, the University of Michigan, Samford, Harvard, Yale, Texas A&M, and others. So, I mean, God's bringing a revival. So I think there's actually a clip that we have, a clip, Dan, that we could play for this guy.
What's up, everybody?
Listen to what's going on.
I just got to Minnesota, Minneapolis, and people have been following this Asbury revival. It's insane. It's real. And I just had to shoot this because it's spreading. It is spreading. You say, Nick, what does that look like and what does that mean? Well, I'm just going to give you one example. This is an office in downtown Minneapolis, which isn't exactly a place that's known for a ton of positive things lately. There's been a lot of destruction and pain in the city. And yet, we're right downtown here. This is where I work. And what we've been doing all day is getting all the desks out. Okay? You say, Nick, why would you get all the desks out? We're clearing the desks because tonight we are going to open this place up for worship and prayer. And we're praying that the fire of God would fall in downtown Minneapolis. And so that's why we're here. I'm waiting for somebody to open the door so I can show you what it looks like. But man, we're right here,
and that's pretty much.
So if you're wherever you are, listen. Wherever you are, there is an opportunity. I think this is what's happening in Wilmore is insane, and a lot of people have wondered where, should I go to Wilmore? How do I get to Wilmore? And what they're saying in Wilmore.
That was kind of the gist of it was that. He wants to bring the revival. He's opening up his office area, putting out chairs. They're going to pray and see if God will bring his revival to his office building in Minneapolis. And you know what? The same Holy Spirit that's in Wilmer, Kentucky, is the same Holy Spirit that's here. Amen. And so you know what? I'm praying that we could do that too. I'm inviting you guys to join us on Tuesday night and come and we'll just see if God's Spirit will fall here too. Let's pray it does. I personally I've been affected by this Asbury, by the God's Spirit, by the Asbury revival, spirit of revival that hit Asbury. I'm infected, and I'm telling you, I haven't felt this hopeful, excited, and joyful in 30 years. I'm telling you, it's so praise God. And you know what? I want to pray that there's one more revival from the Holy Spirit, another Jesus movement, another great awakening, something before, because I think we all know that the last Daniel's final week is pretty close, and we can see that, and you know, the Bible predicts that there's going to be a great falling away before that happens, but it doesn't say that there might be a revival before that falling away. And so let's bring it. I'm inviting you guys to join us Tuesday night. And I also want to say, if you personally, if you want to get infected with the Spirit like I have, like is going on over there, go to it's still up. You can watch the final day of the Asbury Revival. Just go to YouTube and type in Asbury Revival, and then you'll see probably quite a few videos there. So look for the one that says live. Get out your pen if you want to write this down. It says live from Asbury University's Spiritual Revival. And it's going to be the video that's 2 hours, 35 minutes, and 10 seconds long. And if you watch that, and if you, they have scripture reading, they have testimony, they have speakers preaching, they have times where everybody in the audience just huddles up and prays, and as you know, prays. You if you watch that and your heart is open, you'll get infected too. So that's it really. That's kind of it. So Lord, I just want to pray. Lord, we just pray that this revival could hit our church too, Lord. And let it just start with us and spread all through California, all through the city, all through the state, and all through the country, God. Bring it, please. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, amen. So, yeah.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
I didn't hear you say anything.
No. Well, I didn't have to because Wendy did.
I heard Wendy. Yeah. So. So. But she knew what I wanted to say. So.
Yes. Amen.
All right.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Praise God. Yes. One thing Keith said that, you know, it really affected his life. It affected my life too, because this is something I've been praying for a very long time. And if you have read the Bible, which I'm sure all of you have, in the Old Testament, when you see God moving, and among the people, God himself, the supernatural acts of God. Some of them were kind of, I don't want to say ridiculous, but something that you wouldn't think he would do, like the walls of Jericho, okay? How they said, God said, just march around the walls of Jericho, and on the seventh day, I want you to scream, and the walls will fall down. And we're talking walls that were wide enough where they had chariot races on them. And they did, and they just went, and the walls came down. So God did some supernatural works that, in a way that if he told me right now, say, I want you to, Pastor Steve, I want you to walk around the stadium down there in Mission Valley, and I just want you to take everybody, walk around, and then after you walked around seven times, and then I want you to just lift up your hands and yell, and I'm going to knock it down. How many of you would go with me? Okay, so when God moves, when God brings revival, he does it in a way where you least expect it, or in ways that you wouldn't think would happen. It would go that way. So don't be surprised if you walk in this door and you see something very unusual going on here. You better just be ready to be part of it. Because God's going to move, because God has placed a few things in my life, in my heart, that he's telling me that I need to do. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you sure? I'm okay, okay. But I got to always remember what Pastor Lou tells me. He says, just do what God tells you to do. And that's what I'm going to do. So this morning, I want to do something different. I want you, everybody here, to open up your Bible to Psalms chapter 118, okay? And we're going to do something different here. And I want everybody, when you get there, I want you to stand, and we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. And I'm going to read Psalms 118. Now, what I want you to do is after every verse, as you look at it, it says his mercy endures forever. I want you to say that part. Now, this is not a Catholic thing, because I know we did this in the Catholic Church. What it is look at verse 117. It says, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Allude him, all you people, for his mercy and kindness is great towards us. In the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. It's not a religious thing. It's a worship thing. God tells us to praise the Lord and to say that his merciful kindness is great towards us. Amen. And so this is why we're going to do it. So I want you to stand, okay? Everybody stand. And we're going to read this. And I want you to read the part of where it says, for his mercy endures forever. Okay, because this is what God says. He says he wants us to do. He said, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So let's look at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
Let horizon and Israel now say.
His mercy endures forever.
Let the house of Aaron now say.
His mercy endures forever.
Let those who fear the Lord now say. I call on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me, and he set me in the broad place. And the Lord is on my side, and I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. And it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me, yes, they surround me, but the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me like bees, and they were quenched like a fire of thorns. For the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You push me violently that I may fall, but the Lord helps me. The Lord is my strength and song. and he has become my salvation. The voice of the rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly, and the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. And I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And the Lord has chastised me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open me to the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them. And I will praise the Lord. And this is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in the eyes, and this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and we have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords to the horns of the altar. And you are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
For his mercy endures forever.
Whew. Isn't that awesome? Powerful, right? Whew, you can sit down. You can sit down. This is very powerful. Now, I do have a study, but I'm not going to give it because God took me to this when I was praying and thinking, man, I just thank the Lord for his mercy. Now, Keith was talking about revival, and the Lord has been speaking to me about revival, and I really believe, and I'm sure you do too, that God is coming back. We are in the end times, and it's going to happen anytime now. And when it does, I was thinking about the many who will be left behind, because there will be many who will be left behind, even in my own family, my brother, on my family side. And so what I did is I got it's called a survival kit for those who will be left behind after the rapture. Okay? I have something that I'm going to put in my house by the front door, because when the Lord comes back, people are going to be looting. People are going to be going into homes. And it's going to be right there. The first thing when you do, when you come into my house, it's right there. It's in a box. It says the survival kit for end times, for those who are left behind after the rapture of the church. And when you open up, there's a King James Bible in it. And there's four videos there. It talks about what's going to take place in the end times during the Great Tribulation. The different judgments and everything that's going to happen is for their survival, so that they can survive and know what's going to happen, because there will be many people who will get saved during that time. Yeah, so I'm excited about it, and I'm going to put it then. It's going to be like, don't break glass in emergency only. So I'm excited about it. But I'm more excited that I don't have to be here when that happens. And none of us has to be here. You know, so I just want to encourage you this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. Again, be excited that communion, the word communion, fellowship, it means sweet, it's koinonia. Their English language can't even define it. I mean, it's so personal to God. It's so intense of having sweet communion with the Lord. And that's what communion is all about. And the Lord, and Paul says that we are to examine our lives. And this morning, I want you to examine your life. I want you to examine where you are with the Lord and how close you are with the Lord, how much you seek God and how much you are in the Word. Like he says here, remember that, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. Ain't God good? He is good. So I'm going to the worship team come back up, and we're going to sing a couple of songs. Let's worship the Lord. Let's worship his mercy that endures forever. And then we're going to go into communion. So I told you, God does things differently sometimes. I believe in the Word of God and going line upon line, precept upon precept, book upon book, you know, and straight through the Bible. But sometimes God gets in and he wants to do a new thing. And we need to be ready for that. There's something that he put on my heart that I want to do. And when it happens, you better be ready. You better not complain. And you better just go with it and worship God. Because that's what it's going to do. And so I'm excited about what God's going to do here with us here at North Park Christian Fellowship. So let's continue to worship the Lord.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind, God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did. All of the we will overcome by the awesome and great is your name. For you overcame. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Jesus, awesome and power forever, awesome and great is your name.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your word, that word that is sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing and piercing between the flesh and the spirit, Lord. Thank you that your word is, according to Psalms 19, verse 7, the word of God, the law of the Lord is perfect. It's converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb, and moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Thank you for your word. You are the word. You're the word, Lord. And you tell us that when we gather together, there's a reason, and that is to remember what you have done for us. But may we also remember what you did throughout your ministry, the many lives that you touched, Lord, the lives that you changed, and the people that you healed, Father, and the those who thought they were more than they ought to be were broken, Lord, and they were cast down, and you came and that you stirred up many hearts, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you went to the cross, and according to Isaiah 52 and 53, it tells us all that you went through, Father. All that you went through. And you did it for us. You went to the cross for us. It should have been us on that cross, Lord, just like those two thieves. And Lord, but you did it for us so that we wouldn't have to pay that penalty. And Lord, we thank you and we want to just say that we are so grateful for all that you have done for us. For our changed life and the greatest gift of all is, Lord, you giving your Father, you giving your Son for us, and one of the greatest miracles of all is a changed life. We are not the same no more. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And Father, you said that we are more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. So thank you, Father, that the end of our faith is the salvation of our souls. Thank you, Lord. So as we partake in communion and as we continue to worship, Lord, may you be lifted up and glorified just like you promised. And you said that if the Son of Man is, if he's lifted up, he will draw all people unto him. And that's our desire here, Lord, is that you will draw people unto you and you will fill this place. And that it would go more and beyond what we could ever imagine and think. And so bless us, Lord, as we partake. Lord, we acknowledge that you are Lord of our life. We acknowledge that you are going to return. And we acknowledge, Father, that we are we want to be your people, Lord. We want to be your children. We are acknowledging Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So we pray that you will add and you will take away from our life, Lord. And we give you all the glory and the honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's partake. Again, in Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to your sight, O Lord. And my strength, who's my strength and my redeemer. So let's continue to worship the Lord. And then I'll come up here one more time and pray. And then you can go and share the word of God with others. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we do thank you this morning, and we do love you because you first loved us. That's why we love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for calling us your own, Father, and giving us eternal life, Lord, giving us salvation and hope, Lord, giving us that mercy that's new every morning. Giving us the grace that's unmerited favor. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding. The joy that's unspeakable, full of glory. Mm-hmm. And the new living hope. Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you have done for us. And we are excited and we can't wait to see you soon, Lord. Amen. We're waiting for the husband, the our Lord to come and come take its bride home, Father.
Thank you,
Father, that day is coming, and we are excited and we anticipate it, and we'll wait and we'll be about your business, Father. Yes, Father, send revival, Lord. Send it, Lord. And we want to continue, and we want to get out there, and we want to share it, Lord. We want to share with everybody, as many as we can, about that, of the hope, the grace, the joy, the mercy, and the peace that you have to offer, Father. So bring divine appointments in our life, Father. And we give you glory and honor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
All right. God bless you. And look up, for your redemption draws near. Amen.